Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to The Change Agent's Dilemma for Tuesday, September 1st, 2009 on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Stagel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I do every 2 weeks on Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. This show is one of the many ways I help equip individuals to lead organizational change at my company, Enclaria LLC. The Change Agent's Dilemma is how to influence change without authority. Today, the topic is mastering resilience. To help me with this, I'm welcoming my first guest to the show, Lisa Hartalupas, to discuss what resilience is and how we can master it. Lisa is founder of ExecuCoach LLC. She has been an executive coach and consultant for 12 years. Before that, she was an internal organizational change agent. She has a master's in organization development. Her specialty is removing obstacles to high performance and engaging individuals and teams in achieving strategic business results. One of the ways she does this is by helping clients to increase their resilience. Another couple of fun facts about Lisa: she has a double I in her name, which I just love, and she also speaks 5 languages, and luckily for us, one of those is English. Lisa, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Heather. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's dive right in and just talk about the basics. What is resilience?
Well, my favorite subject, really. Resilience is the ability to bounce back after change or disruption. And so if we think about a sports car at the Indy 500, you see the cars driving around, and every once in a while they'll need to go into the pit crew to change their tires. And it is with amazing speed and resilience that the pit crews change the tires, and all of a sudden the car is back out on the runway. I like to use that example because it shows you, and typically if we go in to get our tires changed on our car, it can take an hour, right?
Well, right.
That would not work for these cars on the runway because they need to be able to do it more quickly.
Great. I wish I had my own pit crew.
Oh, yes. Example of the difference between the typical way of managing change and how people who have mastered resilience can manage change more quickly.
Great. So how did you come to learn that resilience is important?
Well, I've been in business for 12 years, and in order to remain in business for that long period of time, I discovered key factors that are critical for success. One of them is resilience, which is the ability to bounce back after any setback or challenge. And one of the things I noticed is that if someone is reacting to the change as if it's an issue, a problem, something that can't be overcome, it's going to slow down the progress. Whereas someone who has mastered resilience like I have, the change itself, no matter what it is, seems a surprise, but it doesn't catch someone off guard and throw them off their game. They're able to regroup and then take action and get back on track.
Great. So the audience for this show is primarily people who are internal organizational change agents trying to make change happen in their organization. So tell me, what place does resilience have in that context?
Well, in organizations, just as with sports cars, the ability to bounce back and regroup and move forward together is critical. So the key factors are, as a change agent, being able to do that for yourself, you know, bounce back and be the resilient person, and also to teach those around you, including your manager, your boss, and the people that you're working with, in how they can become more resilient. so that you move the change forward. You know, people aren't comfortable with change in general. And so as a change agent, it's very important to help them learn how to deal with change in a comfortable way. And that's exactly what I do, and I can help change agents do. We actually have a teleclass coming up about mastering resilience, and it's a fascinating approach.
Yes. Yeah, we'll give details on that at the end. So if you want to, if you're interested, keep on listening, and we'll give those to you. So just something that you talked about is change agents and leaders having that be important that they are resilient and also so they can teach others. I was just thinking that it's important. It would be important for someone who is trying to implement change to actually demonstrate resilience, because if they're freaking out, for example, that all this change is happening, it's probably not going to bode well for the rest of the organization.
Yes, it is very important for change agents themselves to be the steady, to be the role model, to be the example of how to handle the change that comes up. And when change agents are able to do that, they become the expert. They are granted the authority to lead everyone through it.
Great.
And the leaders notice. It's happened with me that leaders notice that resilience, the steadiness, the calm, the positivity, and they grab onto it. It's like, okay, what do you know? Tell me what you know.
Right. Yeah, I've seen that as well. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the difference between resilience and resistance, or how they're related.
Sure. So resilience is about bouncing back after being knocked or thrown off course and getting back on track. Resistance is about holding on to the past or the status quo or one's beliefs about what needs to happen. And it's typically against the change that's being proposed. So resistance is about struggle. And resilience, on the other hand, is about forward movement and working with the flow of what's occurring. An example of the difference is, for example, boxing and Aikido. So boxing is that force against, pushing back against something.
Mm-hmm.
And Aikido is more about working with the energy, whatever comes at you, working with it, finding ways to move it in the direction that you really want it to go.
Great. So tell me a little bit more about who needs to be resilient.
Well, frankly, in the past year, all of us have been challenged to build our resilience with the economic conditions and the crisis that occurred a year ago. We have all had our hand at practicing it. Some have managed better than others. You still see companies out there failing. And so people who are finding their way are really going to be poised to be successful in the new economy. I believe there's a new age dawning, and that those who are attuned in how to master resilience and move through and adapt to this new economy will be ahead of the game and first in line for the opportunities on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like it's not just about when we talk about the economy, it's not just that the economy is bad right now, that we're in a recession, for example, but also just the speed of change that's happening as we move forward in the economy. It just seems like the rate of change is really increasing exponentially.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And that's why I like to use that sports car analogy, because if we continue to, you know, believe that changing tires the old-fashioned way is going to get us ahead, we're wrong. The people who have the pit crews are going to be making the money, and that's where we need to focus our attention, building our resilience so that we can change at a moment's notice and go the direction that we need to go to stay on top of our game.
And not be dysfunctional when it happens.
Yes. Yes, that's very important. Because you don't see pit crews fighting with each other while they're changing the tires.
Right.
They're working together as a very highly functioning team. Everyone knows what needs to happen, and they do it together very smoothly.
Sure. Well, speaking of the pit crew, how can you tell if someone is or isn't resilient?
Oh, sure. Well, someone who is resilient is seemingly always positive. They're able to put a positive spin on whatever comes their way, and nothing seems to get them down for very long. Now, it's not to say that they're unaware or naive, because they're not. They just process the situation so quickly and turn it into an opportunity or next step that it's uncanny how easy they can do that. Sure, someone who is not resilient gets caught in the drama, in the fear of what's happening or what's anticipated. Maybe it hasn't even happened yet, but they're caught in the fear of what they anticipate, and they're frozen by overwhelm, and they're unable to produce. And frankly, that's not a productive place for a company or people in companies to be. It really impacts the bottom line in a negative way.
Sure. So I guess the good news is we're here to talk about how do you master resilience, so that assumes that you can actually increase it, improve resilience. So please tell us, how do you increase resilience?
Well, people can most definitely increase resilience. I've been practicing this for over 12 years and have been impressed at how easy it is when people know what to do. So that's why I'm offering this class coming up. And the five components that I've identified are physical resilience, mental resilience, emotional resilience, social resilience, and talents and skills resilience. These five components are critical for mastering resilience and being able to adjust and adapt in the moment and stay on your game.
Great. Could you tell us a little bit more in depth about those?
Sure. Physical resilience, for example, we've heard of how training, strength training and exercise is important for the body in terms of longevity and health. There are exercises that we can do that help us adapt and change as leaders and help us deal with the change energy that's going on around us. And it's a fairly hidden secret, so very important for change agents to learn this physical resilience. Then mental resilience is about how the brain works. We've got a lot of research coming out now about how the brain operates. And so this is a key component for anyone who's wanting to help people change their behavior. Then emotional intelligence is about how emotions impact our ability to make decisions, take action, and move forward in the midst of change or chaos. Then we have social resilience, also becoming increasingly more and more important as we become a global economy. You've not only got more people that you're interacting with over the internet, you have people across cultures that you're interacting with. So that social resilience and awareness of different cultures and behaviors is extremely important. Then the fifth area, the talent and skill resilience, is where you identify how you are unique. Not only what do you bring to the table, but what do you enjoy bringing? What drives your passion? And by pulling all that together, you have a chance to market your uniqueness and be able to distinguish the uniqueness of the people around you in your company and help market the company's uniqueness. So in our teleclass, we'll take a look at how to keep your talents fresh. So those are basically the five components that I've identified, and we'll talk more in depth during the teleclass.
Great. So we do have some time now. Would you mind sharing one of the physical resilience exercises with us?
I'd love to, Heather. This is one of my favorite. Of course, I all enjoy all of them, but the physical resilience is one of my favorite because it has an immediate impact in how someone feels emotionally as they're moving through a change situation. So let's get settled here. Now, are you sitting down in a chair?
Yes.
Okay. So sitting down in your chair, what I'd like you to do is take a deep breath. Relax a little bit. Okay?
Okay.
Shake your shoulders.
Got it.
Roll your shoulders back. Run in a circle. Okay. So now let's lean forward.
Okay.
And put your elbows on your knees. And stare at the floor. At a 45-degree angle, let's stare straight out at the floor with laser focus. So are you feeling the muscles in your back tighten?
Yes, my elbows digging into my knees.
Okay, yeah. And so if you imagine having a business conversation in this position, you know, and maybe it's not elbows on the knees, but it could be leaning forward, elbows on the desk.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a pretty intense conversation. And if you're talking with someone who's in this forward position, they are driving for some forward movement and wanting things to happen and happen quickly. And maybe they're not going to be so open to what you have to say. Now, if we, so what we're doing here is we're building awareness of body position and the impact on the feeling inside the body.
Mm-hmm.
So let's sit up for a moment. Shake that off. Shake your shoulders. Okay?
Okay.
And now let's lean back in the chair. So lean back, put your shoulders up and your hands above your head on the back of your chair. Deep breath. And leaning back, how's that feel?
Much better, more open.
Okay.
Breathe easier. More,
you can breathe easier. You sound like you're smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel the tension just running down your back. You know, the tension that was in your arms is just like running down your back, like water running off your body in the shower. These are only two positions that are possible. And tell me a little bit more about the difference between the two that you experienced.
Leaning forward with my elbows on my knees, it just felt frustrated,
mm-hmm.
and depressed, I'd say even.
Okay.
Not very hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
Versus when you have your arms above your head and you're leaning back, it's a lot more relaxed and that open feeling of, you know, I can imagine being more open to ideas this way, for example, open to the possibilities of what could happen.
Yes.
And a lot less.
Yes. And that's exactly what happens when people move their body in those two different positions. You know, the first position is more of a closed determination of forward movement. And the leaning back is more of an open, receptive, let's spend time together, be present with each other,
mm-hmm.
position. And
so as an organizational change agent, as change is happening, then how would they use this?
One very important way to use it and I will refer to the body as an underutilized resource in business. Mm-hmm. The body is like a dashboard on the car. We wouldn't think about driving around town without being able to see our dashboard. We want to know what speed we're going. We want to know if we have gas or not. We want to be able to see if any of the trouble lights go on, right? Our body is like a dashboard when we're working in business. As change agents, we need to pay attention to the tension in our bodies. When we notice that tension, the forward movement, that forward feeling, the tension in our body, which can happen even when we're standing up, but if we notice and are aware of that tension that shows up when we're stressed, we can, even standing up, do a little lean back, roll our shoulders back, take a deep breath, and come into that open, relaxed energy. And as a change agent, we have more power when we're in that place. And that's the benefit of working with the body as a dashboard. And for our own personal, increasing our own personal power and ability to influence others.
Great. I'm so relaxed. I just after going through that exercise. Oh yeah, I have a job to do here.
Well, I want to say,
yeah,
you know, that being in this relaxed, steady place is the place of resilience and the place of power that people are attracted to. So, as a change agent, if we are able to be grounded in this powerful, steady place of openness and at the same time forward movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we can influence the people around us and the leaders around us to move forward together.
I'm glad you say that because a lot of times we think of power, we think of that forward moving, you know, elbows on the desk, intense kind of a demeanor. But resilience, you're saying, is more of a source of power because it's that calmness, it's that factor of people can count on you or they can look to you when there's a lot of chaos going on to see how to handle it.
Exactly. Yes.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I'm so looking forward to this workshop. I know I'm going to learn a lot from you. And I just want to go ahead and summarize what we've talked about so far, and you can chime in if there's a key point that you'd like to make sure we drive home. You talked about resilience as the ability to bounce back after a change or a disruption. That can be in your life. It can be in work. There are 5 different ways to increase your resilience or sources of resilience. Mental, which is all about neuroscience and how the brain works, physical resilience, which we did an example of, emotional resilience, social resilience, and also how you develop your talents and skills to be resilient.
Yes.
So I can tell. Go ahead.
I said very well put.
Okay. But we've just scratched the surface, obviously. There's so much more to learn about resilience, and so that's why Lisa is hosting a workshop in October called Mastering Resilience. It's a series of 3 webinars on October 15th, 22nd, and 29th, and I'll be also co-presenting with her. We'll be exploring the topic of resilience in depth and provide even more exercises you can use, both physical and also in the other areas of resilience. You can use them right away to start mastering your own resilience. You can learn more about this workshop and register at myexecucoach.com/events. I'll say that again in case you're writing it down, myexecucoach.com/events. Lisa, thank you so much for being here. That was a great exercise to go through, and I'm learning more and more about resilience from you every day.
Oh, thank you, Heather. It's a pleasure to be on your radio show. Thank you for inviting me, and I look forward to our upcoming teleclass.
Great. So in 2 weeks, the next topic is accountability is meaningless without a definition. It's not meaningless entirely, but you need to be able to define it. So the next episode is coming up on Tuesday, September 15th, 2009 at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. And in the meantime, if you would like to see how we might work together to influence change in your organization, please visit www.enclaria.com. Thank you for listening to The Change Agent's Dilemma. Take care and best wishes on your change initiative.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
There are best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be.
Happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
There are best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be.
Happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Yeah.